Anybody else got anything to say against me? Huh? What?
Did you say, does anybody have anything to say against you?
I was being facetious.
Oh, well, I'll take the
opportunity. Well, go ahead.
Well, you already started the Gary.
Well, I'm sure it's 8 o'clock, right?
You want to just hold up the full side?
No, I'm still a little, I don't know what the right word is from last week's Bible study. That had a profound effect on me for a couple of reasons.
I don't know which one you're talking about.
The idea of expecting failure, which I just hear Ronnie use the word that you were expecting him to fail, and that's part of what triggered this. That was a intense conversation, and I saw something that I think was significant from it. I didn't like the process, and I didn't like accusations. That if I didn't understand, I'm not worthy to teach. And
I didn't say that.
No,
I think I may have implied it, but I didn't say that.
I
said, if you don't understand that there's no expectation of failure, that you're not worthy to teach.
And that was,
I think I said the opposite of that.
Hey, we're not worthy to teach anymore.
That's true. And
no,
but you know, it put me, my eyes on myself, so I've been dealing with it. In my walk this morning, I was thinking about, as a sacrifice, I'm totally imperfect. I mean, I thought of myself being on the altar and cut open like they do Christ, and they would find nothing good in me.
Except Christ.
Except Him, and that's my only salvation. Without that, I'm doomed. I don't have a chance. So I saw that really clear. The thing about the blood last night was incredible, because it gets right into the same thing. So I think what the whole deal is, you know, pride was probably attacked in me or something, and I didn't like it. I didn't like it all morning.
Didn't like it when I reminded you of it last night either.
I didn't appreciate it then. But if that's what's in me, and the fact that it gets exposed, and I might be shamed publicly or whatever, if that can happen, then I guess it needs to happen.
Well, I mean, who knows whether what I do is right or not? I don't have any role models except the scriptures. But the whole mystery was, I warned everybody when we first started. And I said that my purpose here, especially for you and the others that were here originally in stealth, my purpose is to try to put you on every trip in the universe until there is no trip possible.
Rang in my ear, those words. And I hear them. And I think the only right or wrong, I don't despise what you do. I appreciate what you do. What I despise is my own hiding and unwillingness to open up, and even when I'm beat up like that or whatever, to express the real emotion that's going on. If I don't say what I'm saying now, that I despise. Your office is your office, and you have to do what you do. But I have to, in kind, do what I have to do, and that's been always my fear or trepidation, is to come up against you in these things, or
but that's
up against my own.
But that's critical, because that's what last night's Bible study was about. That whatever it takes to expose the seething blood.
Yeah, seething blood.
is what the mystery is.
I didn't tie that word into it, but that's definitely.
Because when you sit there and are seething, you have the capacity. If fair-haired boy here is seething, no, it's the red shirt boy.
What do you mean, like last night?
If he's seething, it's obvious. I mean, his countenance falls. You've developed the capacity to be able to seethe with a plain face.
And that's why when you asked me, are you offended, I said, I'll let you know in a few days. Because that is the way I am. I don't see you too quickly or ultimately.
But my point is, I can remember many fights over this one, delayed obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is rebellion. And so it doesn't matter what, obviously, if I asked you if you were offended and you said, I don't know, I'll let you know in a couple of days, you obviously, something was happening. And all I'm asking is that whatever is going on at any moment with anyone, that be expressed. That's all. And I want that to be total.
Well, this really, I'm glad for this conversation because the seed of blood, I didn't see that personal connection until we had this talk. That is what is going on.
And again, Harry is the temple, in his court of priests, what he put up to hide the seething blood was a transparent sheet, or else an imaginary sheet. He can't hide it. But you got to imagine what that temple was like for 252 years when they were hiding the seething blood in the court of priests. Now remember, It wasn't seen in the court of Gentiles. It wasn't seen in the court of women. It wasn't even seen in the court of Israel. It was seen only in the court of priests. So only, you know, and all of us can be at that point at any time. But if you're in the court of Gentiles, or if you're in the court of women, or if you're in the court of Israel, you won't see the hidden blood in the court of priests in another vessel. Does that connect? Because every one of us has created total, complete devices to hide the seething blood. If we hadn't have done that, then we couldn't have survived. But once the temple is dedicated, the seething blood is no longer, it can't be there. That's why it says not many of you should be teachers, because in many things you'll offend everyone. Because you can, you see the seething blood, and you must speak it. If you don't, that blood will be on your hands. And this is why everybody thinks my purpose in life is to make people mad at me. But this is, now you have to see it. What, you can't see the seething blood in someone else until you've seen it in yourself. Remember, we had this discussion many, many times over the course of our long history together. What offended me tremendously always was any kind of scatological humor, whether it was over anything that had anything to do with it. And remember, it hit me about 20 years ago. Now, the reason is because when I was 6 years old or something like that, I had whooping cough and double pneumonia, and I couldn't control my bowel movements. And my dad shamed me in front of his friends that I was this kid that still had to wear diapers or something. And I was mortally, morbidly shamed. And I hid that seething, but it was revealed at any time I heard scatological humor. And so I would never have known that. And the reason, I would have had some great justification for not liking scatological humor. It's in poor taste, or genteel people don't do it. But it was just BS. It was my own hiding, my own, the wall that I'd built around that particular seething blood. And there's I promise you, this isn't in every person here and every person listening. You have built barriers so that you don't have to know that that seething blood is there. And as long as you don't know it's there, then it will always cause you, if somebody threatens it, to put you on a trip.
That's what they did in the court. They hid it and covered it up and put water.
They even altered the design of the temple so that they couldn't see it. Now, remember, you are forbidden to eat blood. But if it doesn't matter whether you're eating it positively or negatively, it is affecting your sustenance and your satisfaction and your being. Something can affect it. Now, whatever it is, whatever your hidden arena is back here in the secret parts of your temple, you know, that's what, if we are doing what we should be doing, we are exhorting one another daily while it is still called today. That's why Michael Melinda said last night, I mean, he wasn't kidding when he said, you're talking about me. But the blood, the seething blood that has been your identity for all these years, which is shame, you've got to stop having it have any effect on you whatsoever. Therefore, in order for it not to have any effect on you, that you not eat that blood because that blood is cursed, then everything has to be open. We commend ourselves openly to every man's conscience in the sight of God. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds or the eyes of them.
What was it that general said, that how many must I kill?
How many must I kill to satisfy the blood? Most of the human race, they have eaten, their sustenance has been their blood. That's forbidden. Everybody understand a little bit? That's why the demands of living in a community are huge. Because there is no more hidden. Somebody's always in your face if they're doing their job. That's why I didn't want to. If you may remember, I didn't want to move over here. I didn't want to teach. I want to get a hired gun to teach. I just want to be on the radio or television and lop out grenades. But I'm serious. That Bible study last night was a turning point, hopefully, for this body. Anybody have any response? Anything I've said?
Yeah, the seething blood, the thing you see first is the partition you put up to shield it off. And you go like, why is that there? I mean, that should be
because it's
funny.
Not.
And then there's the seething blood. And it says, why is that there? And this is because, you know, it goes back to, why did they kill that guy? And it's because they didn't want to hear what God had to say. It's our own rebellion. And if that's revealed, you know, if there wasn't a partition, if you get back through that, there's only, all you can do is fall down on your face and commend yourself to God's mercy. But that can't happen unless it's revealed. We were talking at our little bit at our Seder group when we were eating. beforehand just about how grateful we are for this community. This is one of the reasons. By being together, these things are happening that's not even, you know, nobody would even think about exposing that.
No, because it's not nice. It's not nice to keep zeroing in. Gary's a nice guy. Why does Ole pick on him all the time? Well, I mean, that's the response.
He's a nice guy, right?
And you don't even, you know, I don't think you even have to figure it all out. You just have to know that it's there.
Yeah. You sense something is wrong.
You don't have to like figure out what happened in your early childhood, like it happened to you. You understood that, but you just have to.
Yeah, whatever it is.
There's a freedom in knowing you're not unique.
Yeah, well,
it's just, you know, it's
but by the same time, that's what used to infuriate everybody about me, because they'd come and tell me their special little problem. I said, that's just common, ordinary flesh. It's not special. I don't want to hear that.
If it is, it's hopeless. I mean, if it's, you know, if it's some special thing that's outside the pale, then you're hopeless.
There is no test that has taken you that isn't common to all men. It's just common, ordinary, stupid, smelly, stinky flesh. Oh, but no, I'm special. You don't understand me. Oh, Daddy beat me with a rod of iron. Threatened to. Or at least that's what I remember. Probably didn't happen, but I remember that. Oh, let's psychobabble it to death. Somebody must have a response to this. How come Michael, the goofy archangel, always smiles when I pick on somebody else?
The reason this actually got cranked up in me this morning is because of Harry.
What?
You know, Harry, it was actually his ministry, you might say. Last night he reaches over and Seder group and says, did you want to pack your bags and leave? And I go, at first I go, well, I remember after the other night, did you want to pack your bags? Did you get that far? And like I had built some walls around it already, and I wasn't even going to deal with it. And then when he said that, it blew my walls down, and then I couldn't stop thinking about it, and had to face it to deal with it. So I really appreciate it. It was really an odd little exchange, right?
Shit, man! If you haven't packed your bags at least once, you ain't been there.
All right, let's go to Ecclesiastes 3. We're not going to get very much of a Bible study.
Yeah.
I packed my bags. I got in the car and drove away.
I know.
It was somebody else's car.
What had been your car?
Who knows? There you go, what if again.
What if you've been hit by a meteor when you drove?
I mentioned it the last time we met, Friday, I guess, in verse 15. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. Remember I said that's one of the few really bad translations in King James from our standpoint now. It really says that God seeketh that which is pursued. Now, that has an incredible meaning. And we're going to look at a few of what examples that means. Abel was pursued by Cain. He chose Abel. Noah was pursued by his entire generation. He chose Noah. Abraham was pursued by Nimrod. He chose Abraham. Isaac was pursued by the Philistines, and he chose Isaac. Jacob was pursued by Esau. He chose Jacob. Joseph was pursued by his brothers. He chose Joseph. Moses was pursued by the Pharaohs. He chose Moses. David was pursued by Saul, and he chose David. Saul was pursued by the Philistines. He chose Saul. Israel was pursued by all nations, and he chose Israel. Rabbi Eliezer says it's the same with the offerings. The ox is pursued by the lion, the goat by the leopard, the lamb by the wolf. Do not bring me offerings of the pursuers, but from the pursued. The Messiah is pursued or despised by all men. He chose Messiah. You have spent your entire life without knowing it, despising that life that is within you. He didn't choose you. He chose Messiah. You have killed him all the day long. You have sacrificed him afresh. You've accounted the blood of the covenant as an unholy thing. You have trodden underfoot the blood of the Son of Man. You have pursued Messiah your whole life, because you are seeking after your own because of the curse. That's all you can do. Therefore, you must die. That's what discipleship is. You must deny yourself. Stop and analyze what percentage of the time that you minister to self. You'll be amazed. It's got to get through your head. He didn't choose you. He chose Christ in you, the hope of glory. And until your identity becomes that you are simply a broken earthen vessel, stop ministering to you and yours, you will never understand the mystery of God. Now, we'll spend more time on this, but this is critical. Any response?
I was thinking this is what it means to be sober.
It's the word sober and godly both. It means right thinking.
What gets me is about, and I've been thinking about this for a few days, how in the hell could he, you know, when he done all this, it might not make any sense, but created everything, he knew eventually it was all going to end up messed up. And, you know, it messes me up thinking that he would create something and then know what the results are going to be afterwards. So,
well, yeah. And it's
don't choose that, then you can't get the other.
It's a good question. And it's only because of his mercy, his long suffering. I mean, just think, it's it's critically illustrated in Adam. Adam lived 930 years, yet he never repented. It's illustrated in Israel. First, Christ was baptized, in which he fulfilled all righteousness. Then he gave them 3.5 more years to repent. And then he gave them another 40 years to repent. That's fine. Now he's waited 2,000 years. He's not waiting for the world to repent. The world's not going to repent. The world is going to be the world. The world is going to continue on in self-seeking until the end of time. But he's waiting for you to come to the end of your rebellion. To come to the end of your constantly seeking your own way. There's a great, in the 23rd Psalm, God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters, or the waters of quietness. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I will never fear any evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod My mind isn't doing well here. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you remember, the better translation of the last verse, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life, waiting for you to sit down, waiting for the breaking of your pride. You may be set free and live. They may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What is pride? Simply wanting things your way. The life of the flesh is in the blood,
Yeah, and it acts out.
And so that's why if you're eating the blood of the curse, then you'll give life to the evil one. That means if your identity is anything other, and it's got to go down to the slightest little modifiers. If your identity is anything other than I am, it's not I am sick, I am cold, I am hungry, I am nothing. I am because he is.
There's no, I'm neither male nor female, bond or free, Greek or Jew, young or old, black or white, dumb or smart. There's nothing. There's no more. I am. I'm not sick or healthy. I'm nothing. I am. And that's the emptiest place that you can be. Therefore, the recognition of the I am is the real definition of humility. There's no modifiers. Does everybody understand that? And you're not even married or single. You're not even a father or a mother, a parent. There's nothing. I am. It doesn't mean you neglect your children, or you neglect, or you don't meet the whole idea is the I am is and will fulfill all conditions of love. It's faith that worketh by love. That's what he does. If you want to continue on in your own way, I don't care. That's your business. Your silent rebellion. You got to hear this from God's standpoint. To add the slightest modifier to I am is rebellion.
And what we think is silent is really screaming it out just to God.
Yeah, I mean, we don't. Yeah, well, I'm sitting here, I'm waiting. I am waiting. No, you're not. If you're waiting, oh, I'm going to go be alone and work this out. You'll never work it out. What, Kevin?
That's what I was thinking. If I can see as God sees, all I do is rebel.
So stop. In the mystery of God, in the economy of God, I should say, you slowly but surely come to this point where you find that out, that everything is rebellion. But if it's just because it's rebellion to you, doesn't mean it's rebellion to someone else. Because look at your body. We are not, I mean, it's, you know, your fingernail isn't like your eyeball. And God has created us to be exactly as we are physically, so that we can more clearly see the mystery of spirit. So every time you try to make everybody believe like you do, then you're just trying to... What you're trying to do really is justify your own disbelief. Well, I must be right, because look at all these people that are following me. But in the silent moments, you're just consumed with nothing but doubt. All right, take it, big guy.